Time to talk business and economics. And to do that, I'm joined by Elise Morgan, who presents the business on ABC News. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So Uber was supposed to bring about the collapse of the taxi industry, but Cabcharge says things are on the way up. How so?
Well, they reported today their half-year result, and it was another loss. But to their credit, it's a much smaller loss than that, what they've seen previously. They had a loss of $4.7 million, and they're really pointing us to look at the improvements in some of their metrics, like total fares up 1% despite, you know, millions invested. Total fares up 1%, revenue up 14%, total bookings are now positive, they say. I spoke to the CEO, Andrew Skelton, and said, for the millions you've invested, 1% in total fares over the half doesn't sound that great. And he said, well, if you put it in perspective, when we started the half, we were well and truly in negative territory. So we are gaining momentum. They've spent a lot of money on launching a new app that they hope will compete for convenience with Uber, that they're trying to make their cars more reliable than Uber cars are, and also without the surcharging. So I say, if you're doing so well and the only way is up from here, why are we all getting charged a levy to help the taxi industry transition? And his answer was actually very interesting in that he said, that's not going to our drivers, that's not going to the industry, that is not going to it's definitely not going to Cabcharge, he claims. It goes to the license plate holders, and he really sees those as very separate to the industry. So he believes that what the governments are doing is really ham-fisted and not actually working.
And the company says it's being rescued by millennials. Have cabs become ironic?
I don't know. Maybe it's just that when an Uber doesn't turn up, maybe people are flicking over to the cab app instead, because they've spent so much money on trying to get it as cool and as hip. I don't know if any of you opened it, but like you open it up and there's like this little video on it. So they are trying. They are trying really hard to be hip. Perhaps there's an element of irony of kids getting in cabs again. I don't know.
So ironic. So ironic. I love that. Sorry, didn't you love that question? So good. Okay. I understand you're breathing a bit of a sigh of relief that reporting season is coming to a close. This is a good thing for your health. What's been the major highlights?
Look, the major highlights, depending on where you stand, if you're a broker, it's a low light, but if you're anyone else in the market, it's a highlight. There's been no volatility in this reporting season at all. So meaning there's been no surprises really. So there's been none of this crazy trade that we've seen in previous reporting seasons where you have companies come in with a huge miss or a huge upward surprise, and you see huge movements in share prices. And I mean, last reporting season, we were seeing on average share prices move by around 5%. It was just wild. This season, it's been relatively dull. And so if you're someone who makes money in the markets off trade, you haven't done very well this reporting season at all. The key themes are that resources have done very well. They've showered, the big guys have showered their shareholders in cash. So there are a little bit of concerns in the market going forward that there's not going to be enough cash in these businesses to really fund future growth. Telcos are so under pressure because there's so much competition in the market, and also Telstra is really getting beaten up with the NBN. And the banks are people, we haven't seen the big banks report because they report sort of outside of the cycle of everyone else. So we're yet to see those. But judging by the smaller banks that have reported, there's concerns about competition there, about margin compression, and about the costs of the upcoming Royal Commission and the different things that the regulators have in store for them as well.
And Myer also stands out, doesn't it? I mean, that failed to pop.
In spectacular style. They actually haven't come out with their results yet. They just came out with yet another trading update to tell everyone how horrendous that Christmas has been, that their turnaround strategy is not working, their CEO left, now they've got the executive chairman in charge. And so we're waiting to have a good look at their numbers. And also with interest, Solomon Liu's company, Premier Investments, who's my buyer's real stalking horse and real thorn in the side at the moment. And we'll get to have a look at those numbers in the next couple of weeks.
And just finally, the Banking Royal Commission is going to release specific case studies that will be up for examination.
Yeah.
When is the commission sitting, and what do we know about the case studies?
So we got this document late last night, and it's great. Ahead of the start of the Royal Commission on the 13th of March, they've actually come out and said, this is exactly what we're going to be looking at. Here are the topics and here are the case studies. So running through the topics, we're looking at residential mortgages, car finance, credit cards, insurance products, credit offers. And on the case study sides, we're getting the banks and exactly what they've been up to. So the NAB introducer program and fraudulent loan applications is what's going to be under spotlight. So that was when NAB was involved with the loans that were being referred, people who were being referred to NAB, and NAB was paying a lot of commissions for people who successfully got loans, and there was some issues with fraudulent documents, particularly for foreign buyers there. We're also looking at Aussie home loans, fraudulent brokers and broker arrangements, CBA's accreditation of brokers and broker arrangements. So there's really juicy stuff coming up. It'll be interesting to see.
Sounds juicy. Thanks for joining me, Elise.
Thank you.